Open our Bibles then to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Had an update from one of our missionaries I was going to mention here. If I can find that. Let's see if it'll come up here. There it is. The Matias shared an update. This is by email here. And says, since our last prayer letter, the Lord has given us many opportunities to minister and share the gospel. At the end of October, we spent a weekend at a church in Detmold where I spoke to the young adult fellowship. Carol spoke at a ladies' breakfast. I preached in the Sunday morning service. The next week, we held our young adult camp, Perspective, here at Camp Impact. Last weekend, I preached at the ordination of a young man to be pastor in Elson. My main burden in sending this update is to ask for your prayer for many opportunities to share the gospel in coming weeks. And just a list of some of their opportunities here. December, numerous different Christmas events that they'll be having. Starting today, Christmas carol singing and cookie fellowship in the afternoon. We often have unsaved visitors. Thursday, December 7th, Ladies Advent Fellowship. Carol speaking at that. Again, unsaved family, friends, and neighbors often attend. Saturday, December 9th, I will preach an evangelistic message for a regional youth rally in southern Germany. Saturday, December 16th, several families from our church will join us to hold a service in the assisted living facility where one of our dear widow ladies lives. I will preach, we will sing, and pass out plates of cookies and evangelistic tracts and calendars to the residents. Sunday, December 24th, our Christmas Eve service often has visitors from the community. All through the Advent season, we and our church folks will pass out calendars and tracts. And then he mentioned some of the camps that they're having, two winter camps in Switzerland. They're having those for the first time, and always unsaved young people there. So good to get that update from the Matias here. So we need to pray for them. All right, as we come here to Psalm 30, we looked at this last week, and this ties in with the last chapter of 2 Samuel, in which David initiated a census that proved to be something that was sinful. And we saw that the sinful part of that was the motivation for it. It seemed to be something that David did because he wanted to know how big his country was, how big his military was, and to put his trust in that. And then we saw how God sent a consequence for that. David chose out of three options there, 7 years of famine, 3 months of enemy pursuit, or 3 days of pestilence. David chose that pestilence, that plague. And then we saw the provision that God made for redemption there. God commanded David to build an altar and make a sacrifice. And David accepted that, and he purchased the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. And as we look at other passages, we see that that site was the same site that Abraham almost offered his son Isaac, and instead God provided a ram. And then that same site is where the temple was built, according to 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. And this psalm seems to correlate with that event, and we can see various different reasons for that. We can see the spirit of pride and prosperity, and the thought of sickness and recovery, and some other reasons as well. But it seems that through this situation, David was led to greater praise to the Lord. And we looked at the first half last week, and we saw that David prays God, first of all, for personal help in trials in verses 1 through 3. And then in verses 4 and 5, we saw that he invites other people to praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so he invites God's people to join in praise. And we saw how they are invited to praise with music and thanksgiving, why they should praise for God's holiness and his short judgments. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. His judgments are like the night. They last for a few hours. They come to an end. That's the point. God brings his judgments, his corrections here to an end. And tonight I want to focus on the last part of this psalm. And notice verse 6. I'll read verses 6 through the end here. Psalm 30, verse 6. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Did you know that the country of Australia is moving? The whole continent of Australia is moving. It drifts 70 millimeters to the northeast every year. A couple years ago, that drift of the continent of Australia reached a point where it began to mess up the GPS systems in Australia. And they were last updated in 1994. And according to this article from popularmechanics.com, the entire country moved a little more than 5 feet as of a few years ago. It had moved 5 feet. And because of that, the GPS systems had to be reset so that things were lined up where they needed to be once again. Of course, the meteorologists, the farmers even in Australia rely on GPS, as well as, of course, the vehicles and lots of other things that rely on GPS. And so there was an update that needed. There was a correction that needed to take place with those systems. Here David, in verses 6 or 7, he gives us another reason for why he is praising the Lord after this event. And it has to do with his confidence being corrected. His confidence was drifting. And through this circumstance, God came along and corrected his confidence. And that's what we see here in verses 6 through 10. We see David praising for corrected confidence. Notice the need for that correction in verse 6. David says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. David had entered into a period of security. The word prosperity here indicates a state of abundance. It can even involve good health. David was experiencing that, evidently. He felt stable. He says in verse 6, I shall never be moved. That's the idea of just wavering or wobbling. He felt like he had reached a point in his life where he felt like he was stable. And he wasn't going to fall down. You know, David had times of great danger in his life. There were times when he didn't feel that way. There were times when he was on the run. There was the time when his own son, Absalom, was trying to take over his throne. And David had to run out of Jerusalem. But now it turns out that prosperity, that feeling of security, was actually a danger as well. David talks about that. That was the need for his confidence to be corrected. And then he talks about the measures that were taken here in verse 7. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Verse 7 shows what he had overlooked. This is the truth. By thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. He had overlooked that. It was God's favor that had made his kingdom to be strong. Perhaps David had slipped into thinking that it was his own wisdom, his own decisions that he was making that had made his kingdom to stand. But then it says God hid his face. God hid his face. That's what happened when that plague came upon Israel. And then it says David was troubled. I was troubled. He was dismayed. He was terrified. You know, we need to be careful about a misplaced confidence as well in our lives. We need to make sure that we don't, in our hearts, desire prosperity if we don't have it. Sometimes maybe we can think that, boy, if I just had a little more, if I had this and I was a little more secure, then that would really be what I need in my life. You know, there's a sense in which we can be thankful if we don't have that, because we see that it can be a danger. It was a danger for David because he was led into this spirit of self-confidence and self-security. Then God took that away to correct that. You know, many of us can say that we do have prosperity, and we need to recognize that there is a danger. There's a temptation with that, that we trust in ourselves, that we trust in the things that we can see, the things that we can count on. It can be a false sense of security. And then notice the prayer that David prays here, a prayer for corrected confidence, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8, it's a prayer of seeking God. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. God's correction worked. David was led to seek after God in a way that he hadn't done in a while, perhaps. In his prosperity, he wasn't really driven to cry out to God. But in this trial, that's what he's doing. And then it's a prayer of pleading with God in verse 9. Notice what he says. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? David's arguing with God here. He's pleading with God in his trial. And he's trying to point out to God that, you know, if he dies, then he's not going to be praising God here on earth. And he's not going to be declaring God's truth. Is that something that we can reason with God about? Is that something we can go to God and use some of that same argument? Maybe we'd have to find some other arguments. But are we right now praising God? You know, could we say to the Lord, Lord, if you kill me, you know, you're going to lose the praise that I give to you here on earth. You're going to lose somebody who's declaring your truth. I trust that we could use those same arguments. And then it's a prayer for mercy in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. To have mercy is to be gracious and have favor. It's a gracious act to somebody in need. Somebody who has a real need is in need of mercy. And they cry out for mercy. And that's what David was doing in this situation. And it's a prayer for help. He says in verse 10, Lord, be thou my helper. Be thou my helper. God is our helper. He gives us help. He gives assistance and support. Interesting that this word help is the same word that describes Eve. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Sometimes, you know, that idea of the woman's role gets a bad rap, but we need to see here, that's the same word that is used about God. God is my help. Be thou my helper. And then sometimes God gives help through other people. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Remember, God had just helped his people. And Samuel, the prophet, gets up and he helps the people put up a stone. Now, what's the name of that? What's the name of that stone? All right, I saw Kathy say it. Ebenezer. That's right. Ebenezer. And that's that word help in there. It means stone of help. The first part, word for stone. Second part, word for help. Ebenezer. And so we can pray for that. We can pray for that. Pray for Ebenezer, for God to be a stone of help and to give us a stone of help. That's what David's praying for. He's just praying for help. You know, we can thank God that He corrects our confidence. Maybe He's doing that to somebody right now. Maybe He's doing that to us right now. He's doing something in our lives and helping us to get a correction, to get realigned and have our confidence in God. And through that, if we sense that, it's time to pray to God. It's time to cry out to God in prayer. And we can use these same prayers. I mean, they're simple prayers. Have mercy upon me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever just prayed, Lord, be thou my helper. Be thou my helper. Not a long prayer, but it is a meaningful prayer and one that we all need. You know, too often it's probably true that we neglect even to pray prayers like that. To just come to God and say, please have mercy. I have a need. I need mercy. Be my help. Be thou my help. And then secondly, here at the last two verses, we see that David praises with renewed commitment. He praises God with renewed commitment. He praises for the correction of his confidence. And then we see that he praises with a renewed commitment. Look at verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Verse 11 shows us that renewed commitment requires a change. And David says that God changed things in his life to enable him to make this commitment. He changed this time of mourning into dancing. He changed the, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. You know, in the Bible times, they wore that sackcloth during times of mourning and sadness. In 1 Chronicles 21, parallel passage to the last chapter of 2 Samuel, it says that David and the elders of Israel were clothed in sackcloth when they saw the angel come over to unleash the pestilence. But then God changed things. God removed the sackcloth and girded him with gladness, it says. And David renews his commitment. You know, sometimes as believers, and we may go through a time of trial, and we may come out of it, and we have a clearer focus about life. You know, maybe somebody has come close to death, and they've come close to a serious illness of some sort, and now they come out of this, and it's like, okay, God has showed me through this that I need to serve Him. I need to focus on doing this for God. And it seems that that's what David experienced. God brought him through this trial and gave him a renewed commitment, a renewed vision for what he needed to do. And he explains that here in verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. That idea of glory here, my glory just means my soul or my whole human being or existence, his whole being. He's declaring that he's going to use everything in his life, his whole existence, to praise God. David knew he could not be silent. He must praise God. And he commits to give thanks to God forever. He has that purpose now. Renewed, I'm sure. He would have said that he would have had that throughout his life. But through this, it's renewed. It's a renewed commitment. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I think I've told this before, but I remember in eighth grade when I was going out to play basketball, our coach lined us up in the gym like the first day of practice, and, you know, everybody get on the baseline. And so all the, you know, seventh and eighth graders, sixth graders were lined up on the baseline, sit down. And so the coach says, "All right, I want everybody to tell me why you're here. Why are you here?" And so we, you know, thought about it, and we were thinking, okay, we're here to learn how to play basketball better. We're here to get some exercise. And, you know, we're here because the parents want us to be here, not at home. And, you know, it's just all these different reasons we could come up with. And so all the boys said something, and he got down to the end, and the last boy said his reason why he was there. And the coach got up and he said, "All right, you're all wrong. Every single one of you, wrong." And we're all like, "What? Why? Why are we wrong? You know, how could we be wrong?" So you're here to glorify God. You're here to glorify God. And I think probably, you know, as a 14-year-old, maybe that was the first time I really even thought about what that meant as a, you know, an eighth grade boy. Of course, they don't have too many, you know, serious thoughts. But that was one time when that coach was trying to help us as boys to understand, okay, there's something bigger that we need to be thinking about in our lives. And yes, we're here to play basketball, but there's something bigger than that even. And that's what David is getting at here with his commitment. He was renewing his commitment to glorify God. And we all need to have that focus, just like David did here. And so I hope that we would think about this purpose in our lives. What is that purpose that we need to be living for? It should be to praise and glorify God with all of our being. Just like David says in verse 12, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And too often we get caught up in lesser purposes. We focus on money, or we focus on relationships, or we think about, I wonder what other people are thinking about me, and all these other things. And we forget about why we're here. We're here to glorify God. We're here to honor God in whatever we do. Whatever God has given us to do, we do it for God. And so David renews his commitment for that. So David praised God after and through this traumatic and tragic event. And we need to do the same. Praise God for the personal help in trials. Invite others to praise God. Praise God for corrected confidence. And praise with a renewed commitment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what the lessons you taught David in his life. And we need to learn so many of the same things. And so we pray that you would correct our confidence. Often we're drifting away from you in our prosperity. We have a false sense of security. And so, Lord, we pray that we would see that it is false and our security is in you. And help us to renew our commitment to praise you with our lives, with every part of our being, with whatever you've given us to do. Help us to do it for you in all that we do to glorify and honor your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing number 442 as we close. Hymn number 442. Song of praise to the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. 442. Let's all stand as we sing. Thank you.